Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories. At least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity and the highway to the north, this is Safety Wars for Tuesday, March 25th, 2025. How's everybody doing out there? Hope you're enjoying things. Been a couple of days. Well, we had a flood here. Oh, yeah, that's great. Recovering from. No, it wasn't like a Noah's Ark kind of flood, but any little flood has a problem. So we're working on that here. I had one program released last week, even though I was on the air more than once. We had some audio issues going on. I'm trying to clean them up on the program. We may actually do a redo. But because we had some stuff, and that's what's going on. So we have a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to make an announcement here. We're a little bit behind on this. It came across our feed this weekend. It came apart. Jay Allen was very gracious enough to write a nice press release. So I'm just going to go right to the press release. If you're on the video program, part of the program, you're going to see this document come up. Yes. Right? And we're going to go right to it. Hold on. Here we go. Hold on. Where are we? All right. Yeah, some of the software got updated, and we're still navigating it. We're there. We're here. So, by the way, I want to thank Jay Allen here for putting this together and being so gracious as to, I thank people every, I try to be thanking people. I don't do it enough here. So this is dated March 8th, but it just hit the distribution system over the weekend, just the way these things work, we really release press releases and then things start, it takes a couple of days to get in there with that. So Safety FM re-signs Jim Poelzel to a multi-year extension, continuing Safety Wars' industry impact. Orlando, Florida, March 8, 2025. Safety FM is pleased to announce that it has re-signed Jim Poelzel, the host of Safety Wars, to a multi-year extension, securing the continuation of one of the network's most influential safety programs. Known for his bold, unfiltered insights, Poelzel has played a pivotal role in reshaping the discussions on workplace safety, challenging traditional norms, and engaging safety professionals across the industries. Right, because we not only do construction, environmental, and stuff like that, we do everything here. Since joining Safety FM back in March of 2021, Safety Wars has experienced significant audience growth, with listenership increasing by 30%. And thank you, listeners. The podcast has become a staple for safety professionals seeking insightful, no-nonsense discussions on workplace safety, regulatory challenges, and leadership in high-risk environments. With a devoted listener base spanning more than 50 countries. I thought it was only like 30, but nope, 50 here. Right, the show has cemented its place as a leading voice in the safety industry. Jim's impact on the safety community is undeniable, said Dr. Jay Allen, founder of Safety FM, and also host of the Rated R Safety Show and the Jay Allen Show, which you should check out. His ability to challenge the status quo, break down complex safety issues, and foster meaningful conversations makes Safety Wars one of the most compelling programs on our network. We We are excited to continue his partnership and expand the reach of his message. Postal's candid commentary and insightful perspectives on safety discussions have resonated deeply with professionals across construction, manufacturing, corporate risk management, and emergency response teams. Data from Safety FM reveals that episodes featuring Postal's bold takes on OSHA compliance, workplace safety failures, and industry leadership challenges consistently rank among the network's top-performing content. His influence extends beyond the podcast, driving both social media engagement and ongoing conversations among professionals worldwide. And you can go look up my qualifications. I'm not going to toot my own horn on that, but everyone here, if you're a regular listener, you know what those are. Anyway, I'm here. Right, Safety Wars moves forward under this new agreement. Postal remains steadfast in his mission to challenge outdated safety paradigms. I call it the old safety order, right? OSO, old safety order, right? And foster more effective, realistic approaches to risk management. His ability to spark critical discussions and question traditional norms will continue to shape the conversation around workplace safety and drive meaningful change in workplace safety. For more information, go to safetyfm.com. And thank you, Jay Allen. I won't issue his contact information here, but he is readily available for whatever your needs are, safety-wise. Thank you, Jay Allen. Thank you, Safety FM, and all the people here who make this show possible and also make it enjoyable. How's that? Hey, we got to have fun. You got to have fun doing this. Right. If we did not have fun doing this, we would not be doing it. Real simple. Now, what else is going on? So I'm starting a very large project starting in April. So it's going to impact the program. May make it better. Hopefully we'll make it better. I want you folks, right, and I can't really go into details because it's an ongoing emerging issue here in the Postal household, the importance of having a contingency set up if you have an emergency, right? So my wife and I discuss, because I forced the discussion. It's funny, she had a conversation with one of the organizations that my daughter is involved in, and they were talking about safety, right, with the safety. And they had mentioned, oh, we need all of the parents to sign off on the safety issue and be cognizant of the safety issue. And they were giving her a little bit of a thing. She says, my husband does what he does. And she goes into it. When do you think that safety is not a conversation in this family? Right? And it was a very happy moment for me. The other happy moment was when she used some information from the show in her regular job as one of the corporate risk professionals for her organization. That was another happy moment. But what's the point here? So we had a flood here, a little flood. We had a leak in the roof. The leak in the roof developed into something else. And make sure you have a contingency set up. So, okay, Jim, how are we going to handle this? Okay, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. And then we got our homeowner, because we have a mortgage on the house, we got to have homeowner's insurance up to a certain level. So we had reviewed our homeowner's insurance with the great Dawn Becker a while back, who's been she's not the underwriter, but one of her things, she had someone on her staff review all insurance coverage. And what, because I'm, I get my regular insurance through her for Safety Wars and JCP Technical. And so we had everything all updated. We had the coverage that we needed at the thresholds that we needed. And especially in the last couple of years, there was a Wall Street Journal article out about 2 to 3 weeks ago how people are underinsured, especially in homeowners associations out there. So it's her thing is to make sure her clients are taken care of, not only corporate-wise, but also personal-wise, right? Do you have the insurance that you need? Because one might impact the other, because we work at, no, I work out of the house here. Now, this beautiful studio that I have here. Work there. So make sure you have your insurances up to date. Make sure you have your policy information. Make sure we even had a contingency for a leaky roof. We had everything here on at the house to manage that sort of thing. We knew exactly what to do when we moved as a well-oiled machine here. You got to have that going there. And even now, there's going to be some work done, and we had to do some stuff to prep for that. That's what we've been doing the last couple of days. And, you got to plan for these things a little bit. And if not plan for them, at least be in that SKR mode of rules and the rules mode where you're going to know what to do. So we're going to come back with some history lessons here because today was a very day in safety history here that we should be remembering. So with that, we're just going to make a run. We're just going to head on over into commercial break.
You are listening to Safety Wars. Tomorrow's safety today.
Mechanical birds above our heads, watching secrets and the streets we tread. Beeping lights and wings of chrome, guiding paths as we roam. In New Jersey skies, they hover high, whispers carried by the night. Silent judges in the drone, leading us to the unknown. Eyes in the sky, they never sleep. Dreams and secrets they will keep.
Professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that is designed to actually address and assess your hazards and liabilities and is not standardized baloney from generations ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call me, Jim Polzel, at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you are receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. Yeah, so let me point out some stuff on the training end here. And when was it? October 1st. As of October 1st, if you are an outreach trainer, and OSHA here, they have the outreach training program where it's either, it covers multiple areas. Construction, general industry, maritime industry. There's the shipyard, longshoring, marine terminals, and there's also disaster response worker training here. Now, what I'll point out here is as of October 1st, we could give those remotely via Zoom with very little pain. Right. So it used to be during COVID, you had to get official approval from OSHA for every time you did a Zoom training. Now you have to get approval, but you got it's more along the lines of the notification end. And if you're within the guidelines of the notification, you can do Zoom training, or I use Zoom, but there are Teams and there are many other platforms online that you can do that. And what the idea is what's my point in doing this? There's a lot of training that's done out there that's canned training. They PowerPoint you to death. PowerPoint you. If you, right, and what I try to keep it as is similar to this program where I, you know, so for example, we're talking about fall protection. I have my fall protection right here. Right, I have videos, I have picture, pardon me, commentary. And where appropriate, we go into human organizational performance, behavior-based safety, what the difference is in some of these classes because it's part of the curriculum. And you want a little background in this stuff, we do all different types of training online. Give us a call, right, 845-269-5772 or jim@safetywords.com. Listen to, you know, we do all different types of training here. We do it in person. We've gone all over the country doing safety training here. And as Jay Allen has pointed out, right, 50 countries were available on the Safety FM network. And, you know, use us, right? Don't abuse us, but please use us here. And we try to work around your schedule, whatever that is. And I give like 99% of the training here. We are expanding into that. We have some people, you know, interviewing, things of that nature. And we're reasonable. So with that, so we try to, you know, we work around your schedule, whatever that is. We've given, I remember one of my painting clients needed a lead 1926-62 training class. We started at like midnight so they could get started to work at 7 a.m. in the morning. That was a lot of fun. So that's what we do here at Safety Wars. Now, I mentioned history. History. Well, what do you mean, Jim? History. So this is, I'm going to be sharing the screen here with you. So this is from several years ago. 114 years ago today. On March 25th, fire spread through the cramped Triangle Waste Company garment factory on the 8th, 9th, and 10th floors of the Ash Building in Lower Manhattan. Workers in the factory, many of whom were young women recently arrived from Europe, had little time or opportunity to escape. The rapidly spreading fire killed 146 workers. The building had only one fire escape, which collapsed during the rescue effort. Long tables and bulky machines trapped many of the victims. Panicked workers were crushed as they struggled with doors that were locked by managers to prevent theft. It was also to prevent union organization, by the way, according to what I've read. Or doors that opened the wrong way. Only a few buckets of water were on hand to douse the flames. The outside firefighters' ladders were too short to reach the top floors, and ineffective safety nets ripped like paper. The catastrophe sent shockwaves to the city, beginning in the communities of immigrant workers on Manhattan's Lower East Side, where families struggled to identify their lost and makeshift morgues. Family grief turned to citizen anger as the causes of the fire, including aberrant working conditions at the time. This is, remember, this is 1910, dude. Right? You know, I think 1910, well, yeah. So, 1911, I mean, that for the average for 19 then, early 1900s, you know how bad that there were. The public outcry over what was clearly a preventable tragedy brought a renewed sense of urgency to the labor movement and other groups working to improve women's and immigrants' rights in the workplace. Frances Perkins, who became Secretary of Labor under President Franklin D. Roosevelt, witnessed the horror from Washington Park, recalling later that what she saw convinced her that something must be done. We've got to turn this into some kind of victory, some kind of constructive action. Perkins and other leaders with direct experience in the Triangle Fire, like New York Governor Al Smith, soon helped marshal new workplace safety standards into law in the state of New York, setting an example for the rest of the country. The Triangle Fire remained the deadliest workplace tragedy in New York City's history until the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center 90 years later. With this, and a quote from Dr. David Michaels, former Assistant Secretary of Labor for Occupational Safety and Health. It is this sustained legacy of reforms that paved the way for OSHA's 40 years of protecting workers. As we celebrate one anniversary, we mourn another. OSHA remembers these 146 workers and 4,000 who died on the job, refusing to accept these tragedies as the normal course of doing business. There. We have some other stories related to this. Here. We get them up. This is from amny.com. AM New York, right? New.com. This is from an article published today by Gabrielle Holterman. New Yorkers commemorate the victims of the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory in 1911. So there, union representatives, New Yorkers, and family members of the victims of the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire gathered outside the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory Memorial on the corner of Washington Place and Green Street in Greenwich Village on March 24th to remember the 146 victims who perished in one of the deadliest industrial releases in the country's history. On March 24th, 1911, a fire caused by a cigarette carelessly thrown into a fabric scrap bin broke out in the sweatshop that occupied the 8th, 9th, and 10th floors of the Ash Building. Water buckets, commonly used in those days to extinguish fires, were empty, and soon the workers, mostly immigrant girls and workers, women, were surrounded by the raging inferno with no chance to escape. One stair case was padlocked, a common practice in those days of theft and unauthorized breaks. While another staircase had already been engulfed in flames, the one fire escape broke away from the building because it couldn't hold the weight of many workers trying to escape. They fell 100 feet to their certain demise, while other workers died leaping out of windows. And firefighters could not extinguish the blaze because their ladders only reached the 6th floor. The sweatshop owners, Max Blank and Isaac Harris, were put on trial for manslaughter but escaped prosecution. However, the tragedy galvanized America's labor union, leading to stronger workplace safety regulations, fair wages, a series of fire regulations designed to prevent such actions. So 114th commemoration began with performances by New York City's labor corps and dancers in the University of Delaware before a slew of speakers addressed the crowd. And going on there, and it goes on and on. It's horrific, right? And to remember this still happens, right? Here. Let me glance through this article. So, they had family members commemorating their ancestors and everything else with that. So, what was the legacy here? We had a lot of impact here, right? So, based on its findings, the Fire Investigation Commission, right, was formed by the June 1911 to investigate this stuff. The commission was led by Robert Wagner, who was a state senator and later U.S. Senator, Alfred E. Smith, some even later governor of New York, and Frances Perkins, social worker and future U.S. Secretary of Labor under FDR. From 1911 to 1915, the FIC conducted sweeping investigations of thousands of workplaces, including garment factories, steel plants, mines, and tanneries. Key findings included lack of fire exits and locked doors in the workplaces, overcrowding and unsanitary conditions in factories, dangerous machinery without safeguards. Wow. You know? Excessive working hours and child labor abuses. The commission also revealed that many employers ignored basic fire prevention measures such as sprinkler systems or fire drills. Yes, I worked in a building that had original fire sprinklers from 1910. It was the Cooper Hewitt mercury lamp. I got the sign right here. General Electric Vapor Lamp Company. It was originally owned by Cooper Hewitt, the inventor of mercury vapor lamps. And they had the original, some areas, they had the original sprinklers there from like 1920. So you wouldn't think, you know, that would happen. But, you know, that was when the building was built in, I think, in 1910. And they still had, they had sprinklers there. One of the people that came in there to demolish the building wanted to take them for a museum. I said, I don't think so. Right. Based on its findings, the FIC passed over 30 new labor laws in New York, which became models for national labor laws. One of them, mandatory fire escapes and fire and sprinkler systems. Better ventilation in factories to prevent disease. Improved sanitation standards, including clean drinking water and restrooms. That's probably where the water meant for the fight for fire went, probably. Restrictions on child labor, limits on working hours, including a 54-hour work week for women. Workers' compensation laws would attack injured employees. These laws set the foundations for national labor workplace safety regulations, including the Occupational Safety and Health Act, 69 years later in 1970. The FIC's work laid the groundwork for modern labor rights and workplace safety laws. And Frances Perkins, a key investigator, became FDR's Secretary of Labor and helped create a New Deal, including Social Security, the Fair Labor Standards Act. And now it's remembered today. So when I play the national anthem today, we're going to play it in honor of the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire. Victims, and for that, and say a prayer for continued safe workplaces in this country here. I think now more than ever, we need those prayers, and we need our agencies and our government to be successful in regulating those things, and we need inspiration in our own, as safety professionals, since there's a primary audience here, in doing our jobs. Seek out those leadership positions. Learn to be a leader. Learn about, and it's never too late to learn something about your career. Right now, I'm reading several books on accident investigation. I'm reading a book that's very important, for me, at least. We have a book club, a Bible study in our church, and we were talking about this week, this past Sunday, it was the Red Letter Challenge, I believe is the name of the book, right? Brain freeze right now. They, and it was basically the need for us to serve our fellow human beings. We all have our different capacity to serve our fellow human beings. I like to think this is my capacity for that. And now we have fun. We make a little bit of bling doing it, right? With that, what else could be better? Now, getting back to our first segment, I'm having more fun than you could ever imagine doing this. And I'm, and as my wife says, if you didn't have safety words, you'd be telling me about all this stuff. So it's good you got safety words. And with that, we are going to go to our second commercial break here. Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that actually addresses your hazards in your workplaces and is not standardized baloney from 25 years ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call Jim Pozel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Pozel, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all with his engaging storytelling. Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Pozel and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars. Your safety is our mission.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Pozel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy.
So the wildfires are back in the news.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars with your host, Jim Pozel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
All right. So we wildfires back in the news. So we're going to do a share screen here for the this is the National Interagency Fire Center here. This is unfortunately here when these big disasters happen like this, you find very obscure government websites, and this was one of them. I mean, you know, I had no idea. I'm sure if you're a firefighter, especially a wildfire firefighter, I'm sure that this is very, you know about this. I had no idea over this. So the National Interagency Fire Center, right? This is their website. For wildland fires and other emergency situations, the partners of NIFIC work together to compile information about the current wildfire situation. So our current preparedness level nationwide is a number 2. What does that mean? So here's our preparedness levels go from 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. 5 being the worst, 1 being the best. So we are in number 2. So active geographic areas may require national support to accomplish incident management objectives. Resource capabilities remain stable enough nationally to sustain incident operations and meet objectives in active geographic areas. There is a low to moderate probability that drawing down resources from non-active geographic areas may pose a risk should conditions change. So we have different highlights on there, background information with that. Monthly preparedness level averages over we're in March have been like 1, and we are at 2, so this is slightly elevated. And March, right, it's usually a, right, average preparedness level is just over 1 for March, and we are at a 2. So that's with that. Now let's see what else we have. This is as of Tuesday, March 25th, 2025, the Incident Management Situation Report. So right now there are 344 fires here, right? Initial attack activity heavily. New large incidents, 15. Large fires contained, 16. Uncontained large fires, 31. And going here with that. So that's a lot of the stuff. Here are some of the ones here. And you might, now, the news. All right, let me go to the camera here. So the news, this is an advantage of listening to us here. The news gives a little blur. There are of fires in North Carolina. Well, that's wonderful. And the news gives you all this, and if it's a politically a partisan show, that is, Donald Trump is to blame because of FEMA cuts. Well, what FEMA cuts? Well, we don't know. FEMA cuts. Everyone's afraid, right? And then you get and the other side. Well, Donald Trump is doing such a wonderful job here, right? What I'm interested in is actually what's going on in the world. What's going on there? So I seek out these primary sources for you, the listener, here. So here we go. What do we got? We have a couple of fire. We have a lot of fires here, and I'm not going to go through all of them here, but here we go. Flatco, North Carolina Forest Service, right? IMT is managing the Deep Woods and Fish Hook fires 5 miles south of Saluda, North Carolina, right? And there, evacuations and everything. Deep Woods fire, 4 miles to northeast of Saluda, North Carolina. And it tells you what kind of fire it is. So you have a Fish Hook fire. So you got all those. And then into South Carolina. I don't even know what the Boar Creek fire is, but wherever it is, BIA, what is, I don't know. Let's Google that. What is that? Boar Creek, that sounds dangerous. You go, I forgot to share a screen again. So let's copy that text. Let's put it into the, okay, that is on Indian land. When I say Indian land, no, well, that's Native American land. Right, eastern Oklahoma region here. And other stuff in Oklahoma. Then you could go here and see everything. All of the fires. There are a lot of stuff going on in Oklahoma. And, a lot of these stuff in Oklahoma and in Georgia. So there's fires going on all over the place. Now, we have here a... There's also one in California this afternoon. So here we have. Ooh, hold on. So here we have from. I have anything. So I'm going to go right here, share this screen. It's from fireweatheravalanche.org. I'm attributing to them. These are like some of the forest fires here that we've had to deal with. If you look in, I have southern Canada going on down to South and Central America. And that's precipitation. The red, yeah, but we have it going down there. There's no forest fires there, but we have right one over here. This is South Jersey, 75 acres active, reported 1 week ago, and the update was 31 minutes ago. This is 3.1 miles west southwest of Victory Lakes, New Jersey. Let's zoom in there. If that's semi-old stomping grounds here. So let's see here. All right, so that's South Jersey. You can see where we have stuff going on all over the United States here as far as wildfires. Right. A lot of wildfires, and also shows you weather patterns, which are important. So we have one in Cleveland National Forest, over in 20.5 miles outside of Yuma, Arizona. That's contained. And hey, you could do a whole program just on this if you're a firefighter. You have another one in California. 1.5 miles east, northeast of Altadena, California. We have this in green, so an active one in Washington State. So, you know, there's all different types of stuff going on here. Let's see what the gray is. Contained, and this is in Alabama. So, you know, there's active wildfires out there. So it's not unreasonable to have a contingency plan for this. So, for example, one of our contingency plans, if we're going to be dealing with a weather event, like a high wind event, hurricane, something like a Superstorm Sandy, all the lawn furniture comes in. Any loose material outside, right? That could blow away, gets brought in. For the wildfires, I have some lovely shrubs that the previous owner had put in here. Guess what the first things are going down if there's going to be a wildfire in the neighborhood? All these shrubs are going, right? And there's here and everything else. I'm a big believer in not having anything other than grass around the house. But I can't get, I mean, if I were going to buy these, they're like $10,000 things. Here, these shrubs here to replace. So, now things like that. What are your contingency? What's your emergency plan if you are involved in your preparedness for an organization? Now, what are you going to do with that here? So, let's move on to some other stuff. So, this is some other wildfire dangers here. LA Municipal Utility says there's no evidence of energized power lines causing any fires out there. Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, LADWP, above ground water power line near the Pacific Palisades was energized when the Palisades fire began early this year. There's no evidence. And this is from Reuters here, a story by Layla Kearney. But there is no evidence that the line contributed to the blaze. The municipal utilities. Yeah, wow. Internal, and let's do this. Internal investigation said that they're not at fault. Yeah, okay, great. Transmission line near the hills where the deadly inferno began on January 7th has become under scrutiny. More than 2 months after the blaze began, and what is expected to be recorded as one of the most destructive natural disasters in U.S. history. A new complaint against utility filed on Wednesday accused the LADWP electrical system of sparking spot fires that led to the Palisades fire. Those fires began around 10:30. LADWP said investigations, including by lead investigators within the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. I always thought that should be like a convenience store, not a... No, I'm only joking there. I mean, that's an old joke. So far, I have not indicated that its equipment was linked... Hey, Wonder Trump, that might now become a convenience store. So far, I have not indicated that its equipment was linked to the cause of the inferno. Neither the ATF nor other investigating authority has indicated that LADWP facilities are involved in the ignition of the Palisades fire on that. So we're going to finish up with So yeah, let's carry this, right? So on March 8th, we covered this already, but people are starting to freak a little bit here. FEMA cancels all in-person NFA training amid funding review. So FEMA announced Friday that, and this is a couple weeks ago, that all in-person training offered by the National Fire Academy is canceled, effective immediately until further notice. According to a notice sent to instructors, students, and fire departments, FEMA is currently in the process of evaluating agency programs here. For those courses that can continue virtually, we will do so, and you will receive more information soon. For those who are unable to proceed in a virtual format, we will reevaluate scheduling of courses once the review is complete. With that. So, I don't know, we'll keep an eye on that. This is from FireRescue1.com. People are very upset over this. Here, with this, needless to say, right, a lot of upsetting people. We're going to go on to Department of Labor news next. Let me close all of this out. And we'll get back to you. Oh, no, let's just go right into it. So, now, I do have some information on these press releases. I have, on very good authority, extremely impeccable authority, that they're waiting for all the reorganization of OSHA to go through before they start issuing a lot of press releases. You can pretty much take that to the bank on that one. I got it from a resource there, that somebody in the know here, not in the background. And again, speculation does not help most situations. Informed decisions, informed thinking out loud, yeah, of course. Educated guesses, absolutely. Fine. But speculation is a bad thing. Usually leads to no positive results. So more on that in the future here. So let's go into... U.S. Department of Labor, that's not it. All right. U.S. Department of Labor industry leaders, stakeholders, focus on railway hearing safety during 2025. Stand up for grain safety. From March 24th to 28th, that's this week, the 5th University-owned Feed Hill Mill First university-owned feed mill in Iowa was the site for the kickoff of the 2025 Stand Up for Grain Safety Week, an annual training and educational event that reminds agricultural industry employers and workers about the potentially deadly hazards present in confined spaces, including grain engulfment. And it's hosted by the Alliance Program, the Grain Handling Safety Council, Grain Elevator Processing Society, National Grain and Feed. So, now, these are like the obscure government websites that are out there for this stuff. So, here, look. So, they have courses on this from the grainsafety.org. Grain handling and storage. And let's download this. What is this? And it gives you a whole bunch of safety resources. Ooh, wow. So, you know, this is, again, the value of Safety Wars here. Right? Stand up for grain. Every worker should be able to go home safe at the end of the day. Well, guess what? I'm going to tell you guys, let you in on a little secret. A lot of employers don't think that. They really don't give a darn about you. That's why we're here. That's why they have OSHA outreach training courses to teach you what your rights are. Some of them, when it comes to that, and teach you basic safety information. Every worker should be able to go home safe at the end of the game, said Acting Assistant Secretary Amanda Wood Lehow. By working together with our alliance and industry partners, we're making grain handling and safer and raising awareness to protect the people who reduce our nation's vital food supplies. Stand Up for Grain Safety Week features open discussions and daily interactive webinars with experts on OSHA regulations and topics including fatigue, emergency safety planning, everything else. So here we have the Stand Up for Grain Safety webpage, and it's a dead link. All righty then. U.S. Department of Labor and Industry stakeholders, focus on railway hearing safety during 2025 Stand Up for Safety, and we already mentioned that. Sorry, guys. U.S. Department of Labor awards $2.5 million in incremental funding to continue disaster relief jobs training services for people affected by the Maui fires. U.S. Department of Labor announced an incremental award of $2.5 million through Hawaii to continue employment and training services and support disaster relief jobs for people in communities harmed by severe wildfires that swept across the island of Maui on August 8th, 2023. On that. So, the U.S. Department of Labor today announced the award of $1.7 million to support employment and training for services for people affected by the March 24th layoffs at the Daisel Safety Systems America and Beaver Dam, Kentucky. Right? So, I don't know what that is. Administered by the Department of Employment and Training Administration. Right? Here we go. Here we have another one. Department of, right? We got to check out some of these things. And again, this was the predicted outcome of the election, right? When the Trump administration came on, would be compliance help, right? Compliance assistance, as our very own Sheldon Primus had pointed out to us. And the National Dislocated Work thing. So I forget, what is this Daisel Safety Systems in America in Beaver Dam, Kentucky? Here, and boom, boom, boom. Let's see what we got. Okay. So I gotta take this off a share screen because there are some articles here that I'm not sure I'm allowed to share. So, what is this? So this was in 2023. Daisel Corporation closing plant in Beaver Dam by March 2024. The Daisel Safety Systems America's plant and Beaver Dam is closing, according to a letter addressed to all employees Thursday. This article is from the owner, Owensboro Times, June 9, 2023. The plant is expected to fully close by March 31st, 2024, with the first workforce reductions beginning in August. And in the letter, Daisel Corporation President Takuma Nishina said the company works to provide a smooth transition to your next career, including hosting job fairs this summer. That was last summer, right? And according to the letter, full-time employees will be given a 60-day notice, and the copy of the letter was with that. And, you know, they closed the plant starting there. There's a copy of the letter. We're not showing it here, so... And here is another release. U.S. Department of Labor appoints Catherine Eschbach as director of the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs. U.S. Department of Labor today announced Catherine Eschbach will lead the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs. I am honored to serve as the director under the Trump administration and oversee its transition to new scope mission. President Trump made it clear in his executive order on eliminating DEI that EO 11246 had facilitated federal contractors adopting DEI practices out of step with requirements of our nation's civil rights laws, and that with the rescission of EO 11246, I'm just reading it what it is, guys. I'm not saying yes or no or agreeing with it or disagreeing it. The president mandates federal contractors wind those practices down within 90 days. As director, I'm committed to carrying out President Trump's executive orders, which will restore a merit-based system to provide all workers with equal opportunity. Again, I'll point out that this whole thing started with Biden after the election in November 2024 with this for hiring on merit. So this was not a new idea put forth by Trump, right? Trump may have seen it through, but it was first suggested by the Biden administration on that. So, prior to her appointment, Eschbach worked for 6 years in Morgan Lewis and Bocius's LLP appellate group, where her practice focused on complex constitutional statutory and administrator law issues. In that role, she spearheaded successful path-making litigation and returned to the federal government's practices to its constitutional limits, including issues affecting OFCCP. As an active attorney in Houston's legal community, Ashvak was appointed by the Texas Supreme Court to its Advisory Agreements and Oversight Committee. Some other issue here, very well-educated person here from Vanderbilt University, and lots of luck to her. Let me see. Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs. What is that? Let me copy. Paste. Right, and gives you a course on here. Vietnam era veterans readjustment assistance programs regulation require contractors are required to develop a written affirmative action program, also establish a hiring benchmark for protected veterans every year. Right, and what else? Home. Not much going on there. The contract advisor. So, not much going on with that thing. I'm sorry for the long pause here. I'll try to edit this out. But that's what's going for the podcast. But that's what's going on here with this. We're going to get, I tell you what, we're going to have to do this. Let me get an American flag up here, and we're going to, still working stuff out here on this, and we're going to put that up here. And we're going to just exit out with this. And again, I look forward to doing Safety Wars for the current times, regardless of anything else that goes on here. And we'll go to it. So, all right. And we're going to do our outro and... we're done.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
Warning.